This podcast is proudly brought to you by Infinity Media, incubating innovative businesses in the media industry.
Hi, I'm Gordon Muller. I'm the guru in the Doc and Guru podcast. Thanks for being with us. For those of you who don't know me, I've spent over 40 years in the media industry in South Africa and pretty much made it my home, my life, my passion. I have other passions, unfortunately, for my sins. I'm an Arsenal supporter and a Sharks supporter, so we're going to do pretty much everything on the show as it pertains to media, marketing, and money, but we don't take jokes about Arsenal or the Sharks.
I'm Doug Mateus, the doc on the show. And again, for those of you who don't know me, I spent 30 years in various companies in South Africa running different marketing functions. And the last job I had, I was privileged enough to work with a team that took the brand to the fastest growing brand in South Africa in 2018 with a 47% year-on-year growth. So that was a great achievement for the team, and I'm really proud of that. From a personal point of view, I do a little bit of cycling and also snow skiing, so we quite enjoy that. But again, today's discussion is around all things marketing and media.
Yep, that's right, Doc. All things marketing and media. No subject too big, no topic too small, no subject too hot to handle. Please get in touch with us on our Facebook page, follow us, like us, whatever it takes. We would love you to be involved with the show, and we really want to make it as inclusive and as energetic as I know this industry is capable of. Morning, Doc. It's you looking bright and fresh this morning after a big night out at the Marketing Awards.
Yeah, how's it, Gordon? Yeah, it was nice. You know, it was nice to get out physically, you know, to be with people, the marketing fraternity. It was live streamed as well, but it was nice to be in the room with people and to celebrate, you know, the best that South African marketing has got and to offer. And we'll talk about that a little bit, you know, in the detail, but also nice to see you again. We've been on Zoom the last few weeks and you've also been gallivanting around the country. So welcome.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, mine was less sort of disciplined perhaps than your marketing awards. Not think any of my crew deserved any awards after a test match in Bloemfontein. But I think the good news is if you can't afford to travel to a foreign country, you can always just go to Bloemfontein. It's much the same thing, quite frankly.
But also, you know, you and I spoke off air, and I think it's a point that we made and with many of our guests in the past about the green shoots of back into sport, you know, people coming through, and it's not even green shoots now, full stadiums, you know. So it's nice to have it here back, people. And you were telling me about the family in front of you and that goodness that comes through, just a nice day out.
You know, it for me, that was the highlight. There was Omar, Opa, Mom and Dad, and three kids, which also had a good effect on my bunch of lads. You can't misbehave in front of Omar. So it was good, and it made me realize how much people really want to get back. And yeah, did I see the game? Didn't have a clue. I had no idea what was going on with the game because you can't see.
Yeah.
But you know what? I watch the game afterwards and I pick up the detail there. But no, I loved it. Welcome back, live sport. How nice it is. And just nice to be feeling like a South African. Yeah, we didn't get the kind of outcome we wanted. But I felt really good about being out. And lovely mix, young, old. Lots of cultural representation all across the board. It was a 10 out of 10 day out, not a 10 out of 10 result, but to be quite honest, the day out was worth it.
Yeah. And I mean, again, you know, we've spoken so much about sport in the past about you can't control the on-field because guess what? The other team also wants to win. So what you got to then control is a lot of the off-field, the entertainment, the welcoming effect, the cheers, all the rest of it. And I think that's where, you know, we do well as a country. We have fantastic venues and you know, great places just to visit and to be. And yeah, so hopefully that's now setting the standard and, you know, into the rest of the rugby. We've got big tours, we've got cricket, lots of cricket coming, soccer, etc. So yeah, you know, hopefully all the fans can enjoy their respective sport.
And just quickly before we move into the topic, because we've got a fabulous topic today and a really intriguing guest as well, just a big shout out to the Baby Box. I think they played incredible rugby, the under 20s. And if I can make a little bit of a shout out for Jeppe Boys High again. Well done to Bafana Tleko, who's the coach. It's a fantastic young guy who's been involved in rugby from the time he left school, and this is payback time for all that 20 years of hard work. The video assistant, all that stuff. I think it was a fantastic achievement by the baby box, and well done, Bafana.
Yeah.
Fantastic achievement.
That's great. And I mean, I know that, you know, your kids went to JP and you got an affinity. So well done. Yeah, that's wonderful. And it's nice that, you know, people put in that love at schoolboy level, you know, as opposed to doing it for other reasons, financial and professional. Yep. It's that running up and down the touchline. And that's the 80 minutes we see on the day.
Exactly.
It's the practice we don't see. So we know that to be the case. So that's quite nice. But Gordon, just before we can chat about schools rugby and sport for a long time. But I mean, it's today we've got a fantastic guest, a person I know well through many years, Medill Tate, Professor Medill Tate. Medill, thanks very much. I'll introduce you now, but thanks for the time and welcome to the studio.
Thank you very much, Doc and Gordon. It's lovely to be here.
Yeah, and it's nice. You know, we're going to chat. I mean, Medill is the former director of the School of Management Sciences at Nelson Mandela University. My old alma mater, my first two degrees were done there many years ago when it was still UPE. Medill and I have worked together. I've facilitated and lectured in some of her classes through the years as she came through the ranks and moved all the way through to the director. Medill, you're on a year sabbatical now. You've relocated to the beautiful George campus. So again, we're going to get into the world of academia and, more importantly, the crossover between what you're teaching and what Gordon and I see almost every day in industry. And you and I had the benefit of being at the Marketing Awards. You were on one of the judging committees with me. So it was nice for you, and I think I'm asking, it must have been nice for you to see last night some of the manifestation of the work that you teach in the top performers.
That was great, Doug. Also, what was great was the energy that I experienced, and also to see that we are teaching them theory, and also that they are not just doing marketing management or advertising management or sales, but they are also very good at finance, very good at logistics, for example. Mm. So also it's important, I think, to be nowadays, to be an all-rounder, not just to specialize in one specific niche area. Because I think it's very important, as you know, one of the judges also said it's important not to always make an excuse for being a marketer and an excuse for spending your budget, you know, and to be able to explain yourself, but also to know that you know something about financial management and you know lots about digital marketing, for example. So that's also what we try to lecture nowadays within the curriculum.
Yeah. And Gordon, we'll get into that in a lot more detail because it's so important, you know, to look at relevance in terms of, you know, a model or a framework or a 10 of these and 5 of these, how relevantly applied is it these days? And I think you made the point, and Doug Place was making the comment, he's now taken over as chairman of the Marketing Association of South Africa, Nando's CMO, about don't specialize too soon. That was one of his themes, you know, saying, and Gordon, you and I have spoken about careers that are sometimes not linear, perhaps less linear today than ever before. They meander, you know. And one of the things is understand the business of business, not the business of advertising or the business of marketing. And don't just walk around with a marketing framework, but understand what the business does. You know, how does things get made? What do you do? And then how do you market that through the value chain, of which one very important part is advertising, but that's the part above the water. You know, you make the point, Medill, so many of those good companies understand all the aspects, and we'll chat about that in detail.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point you made there, Doug, and I think we in the advertising industry have become a little bit guilty of suggesting that advertising is the solution to world tension, and we need to actually work more closely with the marketers at the, you know, think of it as a real relay race. I mean, where the baton is passed on to us is where we take over. We're trying to run the relay race as advertisers, the first leg and the third leg, and then quickly dash across and pick up the baton on the fourth leg as well. Yeah. You know, we're in many respects, we're the fourth leg of the relay race, and you run that as hard as you can, but you can't run the first leg as well. That has to be done by the marketers.
Yeah. And I mean, I think, you know, that point was certainly made last night. So let's just go back to the evening, Medill. You and I sat together and we shared some notes and that. I mean, some interesting winners for the night. I mean, what were some of the highlights for you that came out of the marketing awards?
I think to me, it was very important to see what the youngsters, what they did with COVID-19. I mean, it was COVID-19 and you could see, for example, the winner of the Rising Star Awards, Jared Patel. He was doing fantastic work during COVID times. Yeah. So it was interesting to me also to see that he's also looking at all other aspects, not just marketing management, but also the human touch, digitalization, consumerism. So he actually integrated everything, and that was interesting to me to see that we as academics, we are not just teaching them the stuff, but they are actually doing the stuff that we teach them.
Yeah. And I mean, great, you and I judged on that panel for Rising Stars. It's the second year that you and I did it. And Jared Patel, a great winner, and bringing through, as you say, those skills that certainly manifested themselves in not just a fantastic entry, but fantastic work that led up to the entry. Also for me, Gordon, you know, interesting, we had Nadia Mohammed from Mondelez on our podcast a while back. And Nadia, last year, Cadbury's won the purpose-led category, and they won it for a little shop, a generosity shop, where it was previously loved clothes and kids' toys and books that were given to less privileged people. This year they won it for their work around books. And you know, we know in the podcast we've spoken about it, only 2% of printed material in South Africa is in a native African language. And they, Mondelez, are working very hard to change that, you know. So they won quite a few different categories. So that was an interesting one for me as well, you know, coming through the race.
Yeah, I mean, and I can resonate with that. I just recall in the last month or so, there was an initiative trying to drive the conversion of the printed word into for unsighted people into Braille.
Yeah.
And if that stat you tossed out was alarming, I think the Braille figure is like, it's less than 1%. It's actually unspeakable, really. And so I think those kinds of initiatives, as an avid reader myself, I think it's a wonderful thing. And getting books to kids, I mean, it's so sad for me to see young kids in some of these communities with no access to the written word or growing up with that. I mean, it just from a learning point of view, you're going to struggle from the start. It's I think wonderful. I delight in hearing of purpose-driven stuff like that.
And real purpose, you know, Gordon, we've also spoken about, you know, the thing in vogue of late has been purpose. You know, everyone's got a purpose, you know, and some of it's just BS, you know what I'm saying? But it's nice, though, that when you're actually doing something that has a real societal upliftment factor.
Yes.
And so that case. And then also the big winner, I guess, on the night's discovery, Medill, they cleaned up in many, many categories.
Yes. What was wonderful to me is each winner actually also acknowledged the team. That was quite nice to me. It was not just the winner, but they've acknowledged all the different people and they came up to the stage. And also, that was nice to me, because we're a team, you know. You're not just one person winning something like that. That was quite nice.
Yeah, you talked about the human touch, and I guess we'll get to that a little bit later on as well. But I think for me, that's part of the human touch is teamwork. You've got to implement that, all the way through your kind of offering. And maybe this is the time to talk a little bit about the human touch as well, because I was been wondering, and we've talked about it often, how do you maintain the human touch in a team environment where everybody is in the work from home mentality? I mean, how do you maintain a team when you're working from home? I know it's done and I know it's doable. I just don't know how.
Gordon, I'm doing some research now with my research sabbatical, and I'm specifically my area of speciality is customer relationship management. So I'm very for the human touch. Mm. And we've also become a very quiet society because of digitalization. So what is important to me is that I'm specifically focusing on the closure of branches of banks, for example, and how that is affecting, for example, the personal banker's role. And also with COVID-19 now and all the riots happening last year. So it's very important to also keep the personal touch or the human touch. My research has got two phases. The first one was a desk study, and now the second phase I'm busy with now is to do the interviews with these personal bankers in all of the provinces in South Africa to find out exactly what is their role now with regard to COVID-19, post-COVID-19, with regard to digitalization, what is happening with the personal banker, and how do you keep up or how do you keep this human touch if you are moving in the direction of digitalization?
Yeah, that's very interesting, Medeel. And you and I, we'll touch on, you know, we presented a few weeks ago on a joint presentation down in George. But I mean, let's just talk about your research. So you say you've done phase one, and I know that you presented a paper recently now at a conference in London, sadly, virtually. And not only did you present it, but it also won paper of the conference. So a big well done on that. Let's just talk a little bit about what was the conference. And then, you know, you've spoken about the first bit, which is the whole move towards digitization. So, and its effect. So just tell us a little bit about the conference and just one or two outtakes.
Thank you very much, Doug. It was the International Conference of Social Science, Business and Education. And it took place on the 28th and 29th of June in London. I did it virtually. And my topic was, has COVID-19 rendered personal bankers superfluous? So that is what I'm busy with during my research sabbatical. Mm. And the whole idea was, for this paper, I actually have spoken about my first part of the research, in other words, the desk study and the research that I've done with regard to our big four bank groups who have been closing down branches and also the impact on the not just the consumer but also the personal banker and the second part is then this semester where I will do the physical interviews with the different personal bankers in all of the provinces and the different branches.
You're listening to The Doc and the Guru, proudly brought to you by Infinity Media.
Well done again. I mean, it's nice to, you know, be recognized. We started speaking about awards, Gordon. You know, that the work is of such a quality that, you know, not only are you presenting it internationally, and I know, Medeel, through your long academic career, you've presented many times in many international bodies, so it's not absolutely new, but it's nice to be recognized and winning a paper. So well done for that. And also, you know, all the best for the second phase, you know, of your research. And I mean, just jumping a little bit back, a few weeks ago, you kindly invited me down to the beautiful George, and you and I presented to a range of people, including the mayor of George, for that matter, around marketing and the human touch. You know, and you led in with your paper, and I spoke about some contemporary examples, Gordon, both locally and internationally, about the changing consumer, you know, about people wanting different things, demanding different things almost, in brands having to do that. And again, I'd also like just to thank you, Medeel, and the university for awarding me an adjunct professorship at the university. So it's nice to go back 30 odd years later, probably a bit more. I think I'm exaggerating. I think I'm being kind to myself. Closer to 40 years, Gordon, where I first put my foot in that university to now be, you know, on the adjunct professor side.
But I think we need to change the name of the show now to The Prof and the Guru.
Yeah, no, well, look, I got a nice C matric, so I feel I'm relatively competitive on the academic venture with The Prof and the Doc. But, I think what I like, Prof, not you, Doc. I'm talking to management now, okay?
talk to the real Prof.
Exactly, yeah. So no, what I did like was your point about practice. And I think this is the discipline particularly in media where, you know, there is a theoretical component which you have to master, but there's a practical aspect of it, you know, with the application, which we need to collaborate more. And, you know, as an industry, I think we've drifted off the pace in terms of our interface with tertiary institutions. And I'm really hoping, you know, as a result of this and our interface, you know, with UCT and some of the other tertiary campuses, that we really get together and try and understand where you end off with the theory and what role we can play in picking up on the practice. Because I've made the point many, many times, putting people into high-powered jobs without, you know, actually training them is not transformation, it's abandonment. And ultimately, it's critical that we pick up our part of the equation, which is the practical side. So your emphasis there, and that also plays into the human touch thing there as well. So I'm not equipped necessarily to do the academic training at a theoretical level, but at a human interface level, I know enough about the industry to pick up what you teach and say, right, let's get together and this is how we apply these things. And somewhere I think we need to look at a tertiary institution interface at that point. That would really be something I think we would like to raise and throw maybe at the MAC charter. We're hoping to get them in a week or two, just talk to us as well. But that would be a natural point. That's genuine transformation. You skill somebody to do the job is transformation.
But Gordon, I cannot overemphasize the role of practice in academia because, Doc, that's actually how we met. Because when I was lecturing at South Campus in the Department of Business Management, Professor Bosch was my head of department and he was also your supervisor for your honors treatise. And he actually introduced us because he invited you as a guest speaker to our honors students. And I cannot overemphasize the value that that had, your guest lectureships, which that had on our students. And I think it will be fantastic if, like the winners of last night's awards, if they can also be guest speakers, for example, at our different universities. Yeah. And also next year, October, the 30th and 31st of October, we at the George campus, Nelson Mandela University, the School of Management Sciences, we are also going to host an international conference. It's called the Emerging Marketing Conference Board. And we would also love to have you, for example, also as our guest speaker. And also, we are going to contact some of the people who won the awards last night to also be on the panel, you know, so that the students who will also attend the conference and people, business people, will see the link between business and academia.
Yeah, I mean, that's so critical. And that's why it was so nice for me to spend time with you, Medill, last evening, looking at the reality of it playing out in front of us. You know, as people walked across the stage, some of them I know and some of them I don't know. The point is, it's not difficult, Gordon, to reach out to these people who are currently running very big portfolios and saying to them, listen, you know, give back. And I know a lot of them personally, as you do, Gordon, who they want to do it, you know, to give back and share their experiences across a myriad of stuff. And if I look at just your work currently around the banking sector, again, you know, we know some of the top CMOs of the banks in South Africa. You know, we know them. So it's not difficult to, I can't guarantee they're going to do it, but certainly it's well worth asking the question, saying to a Tulani Sebeka at Standard Bank or Kensi Nobanda at Nedbank, you know, very outspoken, very vocal about certain things. I mean, Kensi will talk, I think, quite openly about Nedbank and where they are in their journey. And one aspect is transformation, but another aspect is digital transformation. And I think you made the point, Medill, around that. So let's look at that, because what you want to do is get the real people to marry the real contemporary theory. You know, and you spoke, Gordon, about the book that you collaborated with lots of other authors on contemporary marketing. Yeah. Great book. You know, I mean, what are the downloads now? 70,000.
Over 70,000 globally, which
how's that,
it's open 70, source. Which I think is really amazing,
yeah,
and very encouraging.
Free textbook, hey, Gordon?
Free textbook. That was the whole premise, that UCT was under pressure, I guess, as are all tertiary institutions, to provide access to textbooks that are not prohibitively priced. So open source, obviously, is about as good as it gets.
Yeah.
So a free textbook from top people in the industry, and downloads over 70,000, which is really, fantastic. I think, very groovy.
Amazing. And I mean, I've made the point before, and I can't make it enough. I've worked through that book, you know, and it's great. And it says marketing for South Africans, but it's not. There's so many generic principles, Gordon, that go across stuff, you know, that, and I've used it, you know, in my facilitation into private sector, you know, in consultation. So the book is a good book. And again, I encourage people. But also, you know, just to engage with Medill, you know, just I look at, and I mean, I and Gordon, you know, you love education and the world of learning, is to encourage people to, you know, if they've got the ability and the means, to engage with you at the campus, and try to be part of that next generation of people who are trained to do stuff. And I think one of the issues that came through, one of the discussion points last night, and you made it, is marketers almost being defensive, you know, playing on the back foot, defending their position, you know, whatever that may be. And the challenge, though, is it is getting, maybe in my opinion, more complex, because you need to be a general, you need to understand, Gordon, and we've spoken about it, the moment you get a new app development, who do you think gets involved? The chief digital officer, the chief information officer, yes, the customer-facing officer, the market. Everyone's arm wrestling to say, but I know more about the customer. But the answer really is, all people in the room should be. But marketing does have a voice. The next day, it's logistics. If I look at just all the online ordering, you know what I mean? Those scooters in the room, there's got to be a logistical process behind it. And Checkers is one example of a company doing it well. Is their marketing guys getting involved? They're not just sticking with the advertising, but understanding that they actually sell groceries, you know, and that needs to go there. And also, sometimes needs to come back. Reverse logistics, because you got the order wrong. Mm. So you got to understand that whole process. So, yeah, I mean, the term marketing magician is not new, but you sometimes need a marketing magician these days more than ever before. Yeah.
And it's perspective, you know. I mean, you talked earlier, Prof, about the being an all-rounder. And I'm often asked, what does it take to be a good media person? I said, well, to be a good media person, you need to be a good advertising person. Mm. What does it take to be a good advertising person? To be a good advertising person, you have to be a good marketer. Yeah, sure. What does it take to be a good marketer? You have to have your roots in financial. I mean, all of us have our disciplines. We sail our boat and our part of the river, but we need to look up and see which way the river is flowing from and which way the river is flowing to. Without that lift your head perspective, you're never going to be an all-rounder. And I think, ironically, being an all-rounder is the really entertaining part, because you know, it's that halo effect around your discipline that makes life really interesting. It makes your own discipline even more interesting if you're seeing where you fit in.
And I also want to share with the younger people, with the undergraduates actually, that you don't walk into a job as CMO.
Yeah.
You know, you need to start at the lowest level. So you need to make your hands dirty.
Yeah.
So and I've seen also in the past that some of the people think, oh, okay, now I've done my marketing management, I've got my BCom marketing management, I've got my honors and in marketing, and now I can call the shots. And that's not the case.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah, I think it is so important, Medill, and you work with so many young people who have gone through your hands and your classes through the years, and it's wonderful to get a degree. I mean, it's a fantastic feeling. But you're right. It's a key. You still got to turn the key in the door, make sure the right key's in the right door, and then go through the door and make things work. And, you know, I look at a lot of the top marketers whom I know, a lot of them are not scared still today to get their hands dirty, to get into the detail. And if you look at last night's another big winner, Feroz Barat, and we interviewed Feroz Gordon.
Absolutely.
From Discovery.
Fascinating interview, yeah.
7 business units. Of which, and he made the point, he doesn't know every detail in every business, but he knows enough detail in every business. But what he does do is he employs smart people. And one of their values is employ smart people and unleash excellence, you know, intellectual excellence. It's part of their value set in a performance-driven organization. But you're right, you know, not everybody walks into Discovery, or for that matter, any other company, because you've got a B degree. you know, it's great, and you're far better than a lot of other people, but there are other people who have not only got more than you degree-wise, but have worked, they've actually got some soil on their hands.
Yeah, the analogy I've always used, you know, is with respect to media, that I'm not the king of every single jigsaw puzzle piece there. I mean, my knowledge of digital media is superficial. My task is to understand where that particular piece of the jigsaw puzzle fits in. I'm the master of the jigsaw puzzle,
yeah,
not each individual piece, and that's the crucial thing. And once you realize that, you release a lot of kind of pent up energy, because you're frustrated because you can't have the same level of knowledge as some digital guy with a computer engineering degree. I can't do that. Mm. But if I know where that puzzle piece fits in, then I'm empowering myself. So that's why I love the all-rounder thought. I love your starting point there. And just to come back also to the human touch, I'm intrigued, because I've just done a workshop now where I've taken that textbook, Marketing to SA Consumers, to a Pan-African organization, because the learnings are exportable. But in your second phase now of your research, you're using sort of almost like an ethnography approach. So many marketers are still hung up on big numbers. We want the big research and media. We feel we handicapped because we don't have 50,000 samples. But if you go onto things from an ethnography point of view, just go and talk to the consumer. Go and sit and listen to somebody and hear what they have to say. You can find out so much more. And I think that's it. Bring the human touch back, even into media research, is something we need to do.
Gordon, I think we forget actually the role of the human touch. And, you know, if you go to consumers, they still will tell you, okay, it's easy to use, you know, your phone or whatever to do with regard to mobile money or internet banking. But if something goes wrong, you still actually want a voice someone to speak to.
Yeah.
You don't just want to press buttons.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's the crossover, you know. Again, Madil, we had the opportunity to chat at that recent talk in George about the crossover between consumer behavior, which when I studied was in the Faculty of Industrial Psychology, Gordon. So it wasn't even in the Faculty of Business or the Faculty of Marketing, as a sub-faculty of business. But now I know that it has changed, and you and I have had the discussion, because it's so important, obviously, and it's such an obvious point. So when you say it, you say to yourself, geez, this isn't really rocket science, that you need to know the customer, because that's actually why you're doing the marketing, for the customer. You're not doing it for yourself or for to win awards, or for that matter, you know, marketing or advertising awards. Yeah. So yeah, absolutely right. Gordon, I think time-wise, we're getting a bit tight on time, which is...
Just pick up the keyword, the awards. I think let's maybe, can we throw back, like, where can people go to find out about the awards and see who all the winners were? Is it on the awards website?
Yeah, marketingawards.co.za. So yeah, if you want to find out what we were chatting about, go on there, see who the current performers are, both company-wise, campaign-wise, as well as the individual categories. So the three, you know, Jared Patel won their Rising Star individual category, Feroz Borat from Discovery as the Marketer of the Year, and then Discovery Group as Marketing Organization of the Year. And then underneath it, there's a myriad of other great awards. So please go on marketingawards.co.za.
Yeah, my particular point of interest would be, and I'm quite keen to have a look at it, I think there's one subcategory for internal marketing, which is often the unsung hero of our discipline.
Yeah, absolutely, Gordon. It's looking at, you know, that whole aspect of how have you rallied people together.
Yeah.
You know, and for many years, certainly in my early part of my career, Madil, I thought you had to have marketing in your job title to be a marketer, you know, and I guess luckily I learned it fairly early on and not too late in my career, is that everybody should be a marketer. It doesn't matter whether you're a job title. And specifically, you know, you're speaking about talking to people. Customer care, customer service agents, you know, they talk to more customers in one day than I probably spoke to in a year in any given time, because of the volume of a lot of the time, the work we did. And so absolutely, Gordon, getting those people in an internal culture change, so it's that crossover between culture and marketing, to say, I live and love the brand as internal ambassadors. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to leave it to you to wrap up. Prof. Madil, fantastic to have you. Thanks for making the time. Really, really interesting. And looking forward to you interacting with you when your sabbatical's over, and we'll start driving this tertiary institution interface from an industry perspective.
Thank you very much, Gordon.
Thanks, Gordon. That's great. And I mean, we'll obviously continue the chat. So, Madil, from my side, thanks so much for the time. It's nice to have you in Johannesburg. It's also nice to go and visit you, obviously, in the Southern Cape. So that's always nice. But thanks very much. Good luck and all the best for the second part of your sabbatical journey, if you like, and your research part. Please share those results with us. And we'll obviously stay in touch for a throw forward, as Gordon suggested, in terms of curriculum design and goodness of fit for both sides, as well as next year's international conference. It'll be nice to participate and also to bring people along the journey, not just delegates, Gordon, but also, people presenting their various skill sets.
Thanks very much, both of you, Gordon and Doug. It was wonderful to be here.
Thanks. And I mean, that's another episode of The Doc and the Gurus. So for our listeners out there, please, as we always say, don't just listen to the episode. I mean, I hope you did. It's a great episode and a wonderful guest. But interact with people. Get all the Gordon and I on the various platforms. Gordon more so on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. I'm on LinkedIn. Talk to us. Tell us who you'd like on the show. Tell us what you like, what you don't like, and be part of the discussion. We'd only want to make it, make it better for everyone.
Absolutely. And most important of all, let's keep talking.
And so that was another episode of The Doc and the Guru. Please don't forget to get hold of us on Facebook, like us, follow us, subscribe to the podcast. And then from my side, you can get hold of me on LinkedIn, Dr. Doug Mataz. I'm very active and very keen to hear about your views and certainly will respond. And hopefully we can bring that into the show.
Thanks, Doc, and it's Gordon Miller, the Guru, signing off. Thank you for being with us and listening into this podcast today. You can pick up the discussion with me on my Twitter handle, @MzanziMedia, and I'd love to engage with you on any of the issues that we've taken on in the show. And take us at our word. This is really going to be an open forum. There are no subjects that are taboo, and we'd love to have some of the younger, more under-listened, if that's the correct phrase, voices to join us in this discussion. Thanks for your time.
The Doc and the Guru, proudly brought to you by Infinity Media, incubating innovative businesses in the media industry.